Well, it was a much different week for me this week in doing the preparation for the Torah and reading of the Word of God. And I would encourage you to read the entire Torah portion this week from Exodus 35, verse 1 through 38, verse 20, and all of that. But it was interesting, as I was reading through this, and normally what my modus operandi is that, I look at the passages and read a little commentary here, a little something there, glean information that I possibly might not know or stuff that God says to share, and then I go from there. But this week, it was much different. As I was reading through everything, God stuck me at one verse. And with that, and with that one verse, it really spoke to me. And then I saw another verse that kind of parroted that really spoke to me. And it was what we read in Hebrew. All the wise men who were performing the work of the sanctuary came. Or all the wise-hearted men, those who were performing the work, made the tabernacle. And being wise, what does it mean to be wise? You know, I know that there's some jokes, like, oh, he's such a wisecracker or a wiseacre, or I don't know where they got the word wiseacre from. Maybe he was a big guy like me, He's so big he could fill an acre. He's a wiseacre, But guys making the jokes were wisecrackers. But you know what? I thought, well, wow, these people God considered wise. What does that mean? What does that mean? And so, with that, I immediately jumped into the way, my thinking. Well, let's look at that word for wisdom. Is there something there? And, it's interesting that some of the Bible translations change the word from wise to skillful. I got a problem with that. Because, I know people that have skills that aren't very smart. They might know how to do something, but common sense just goes right out the window. They are not wise. And so I had to look it up, and the word chacham means to be wise. It doesn't mean to be skillful. It means to be wise. And so it's interesting that from Exodus 28 through Exodus 36, the phrase wise or wise-hearted is used 8 times with association with the construction of the tabernacle and its elements. So what is that, what's the big overall lesson here? That those that God considers wise take part in building His house. It goes beyond just, remember too, last week we talked about they were filled with the Spirit. This week they're wise. And so building a house doesn't necessarily mean constructing a tabernacle today for sacrifice. What it means is building up the kingdom of God, right? And Proverbs 11:30 says this, he who is wise wins souls. So if you want to be wise in God's eyes, we got to stop, we have to build up the kingdom of God. And that really struck with me. That really struck me and it stuck with me. Hey, those who are wise are out there telling people about the Lord. Well, how do they do it? Do they, do they quote scripture all the time? Do they get in their people's face and beat them over the head? No, they're about the kingdom building process and they look for opportunities. And then they go before, beyond that. And so with that, let's go ahead and take a look at some other verses about wisdom. Proverbs 3:7 says, do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Many times our eyes deceive us. And we think that, oh, there's no problems, or we're all that, or this, that, or the other. But our eyes are deceived if we are wise in our own eyes. And, Yeshua talks about an eye problem, where people thought that they were all that. And what did He say? Why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but fail to notice the beam in your own eye? So I remember back in the 90s, there was a band called Plank Eye, But I mean, can you imagine that? You've got these big 12-foot planks sticking out of your eyes and you're just walking around and you're trying to, oh, you got a speck, but you got that 12-foot plank that keeps on hitting your brother or sister and hurting them, right? Quit hitting me with your log, man. Get it out of there. It hurts. And so, what does Yeshua say? Remove the beam in your own eye. Remove that plank that's in your eye. Then you will see clearly enough to remove your brother's speck. Which is saying, hey, first of all, you know, make sure your eyes first, you're not one wise in your own eyes, but you've turned away from evil. You've got the planks out of your own eyes. You've got your own stuff dealt with. This is a lesson in responsibility, right? You know, I'll use the kids as an example. You know, one of them will say, hey, the other one's doing so and so. Well, what about you? You know, they're not cleaning your room. Well, is your room clean? Well, no. Then why are you telling me about them? Why don't you be responsible for yourself and let daddy take care of it? And so that's what Yeshua here is saying. And of course, beyond that, we see God's solution. The solution for not being wise in our own eyes starts with fearing God. And when you understand what it means to fear God, fear doesn't mean, oh, he's going to strike me with lightning. Fear means you have the utmost respect for God. And with that, you respect him enough to follow his will as revealed where? In his word. That's where we find where the will of God is. And with that, you know, and note what Yeshua said, that part of seeing clearly, I'm going to reiterate this again, means that we have to worry first about what's keeping us from seeing before we go to others. Because, you know, what a great deflection technique. Well, they've got a lot of problems. So what do? We get involved in helping others solve their problems. We think we're helping them solve their problems. But we're being hypocritical. You know, God doesn't want us to, lead from the back seat. God wants us to lead by example. And that's the best way to minister and to respect God. And of course, those who are wise turn away from evil and respect God. I think of so many people, it's just like, oh yeah, I'm wise in the things of God. Well, are you turning away from evil? I see pictures in fact, I saw somebody had a picture on Facebook this week hanging out with evil people, and they had a big smile on their face. I'm like, oh, that's a big concern. They claim to be a believer. What's going on here? And, you know, why are these people doing these things and this other person is there involved in that? And so, you know, we need to turn away from that stuff and run from that stuff. Now, it doesn't mean we don't love on people who are evil, because what does God's word say? He loves the sinner but hates the sin. But, you know, if you're participating in the sin, you're parting. You know, if you're participating with the sin and parting with the sin, then you're not respecting God, and we need to run from that. So Ephesians 5 gives us how we're supposed to live. First, starting at verse 15, it says, "So then, be careful how you live. Do not be unwise, but wise." So God's saying, hey, we don't want to be foolish. What's the opposite of wisdom? Foolishness, right? Don't be a fool. Be wise in God. Make the best use of time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what Hashem's will is. Stop getting drunk with wine, which leads to wild living, but keep on being filled with the Spirit. Then you will recite to one another psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You will sing and make music to Hashem with your hearts. You will always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach. And you will submit yourselves to one another out of reverence for Messiah. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as to Hashem. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Messiah is the head of the church. It is he who is the Savior of the body. So the point here is that God wants us to strive. And he equates foolishness with, you know, a partying lifestyle, getting out and getting drunk, you know, going to the parties. He's like, oh, that's foolishness. Because these things, you know, when you're out drinking, you know, you have a little bit too much to drink, don't you forget about the message that God wants you to share? You're out joining in with the foolishness. And so I find it interesting that those who practice foolishness hang out together and they try to out-fool each other. And we see the result on YouTube, right? People doing stupid things. That's foolishness. God doesn't want us to be with that. But God wants us to be wise. Being wise starts with singing songs to God, right? Being thankful. Submitting to the things of God. Following the God-given authority that He's given to us. And so with that, that's how we are wise. Now Proverbs 3:33 says, "The curse of Hashem is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Though he scoffs at the scoffers, he gives grace to the afflicted. The wise will inherit honor, but fools display dishonor. So God wants us to inherit honor. And for those who are wise, that's what we'll inherit for our actions. And so it's interesting that God curses those who are wicked, but blesses those who focus on righteousness. And what a good indicator. You know, a lot of times people are like, I've heard under the banner of being a believer, I'm going through a really tough time. I must be suffering the affliction of Job. But, my live-in domestic partner and our, three bastard kids, are just, I hear stuff like this. Why is God doing this? Well, why are you living in sin? You claim to be a believer, but yet, you're not even, I was talking with a pastor the other day, and somebody wanted to be in business with him, and they claimed to be a believer, but he couldn't marry the woman that he was living with because she was still married to somebody else. And yet you claim to be a believer? That's if living unwise. God is going to punish that. God is not going to bless that. And so part of wisdom is knowing that when we're going through something, it's stopping and saying, hey, is this a sin issue? Or we run it through the filter of God's word. Am I sinning, or am I truly going through a test or a trial? And so that's part of wisdom. Now you might say, well, you know what? I have a propensity to make dumb decisions. I know I do. Trust me, I don't make the best decisions all the time. But God's word gives us a solution for that, for things that are not in the scripture. What does he say? Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to everyone generously without a rebuke, and it will be given to him. So ignorance is not an excuse. If we're believers in the Messiah, we cannot claim ignorance, because God promises that if we ask him for wisdom, he's going to give it to us generously. He's not going to say, why are you asking for wisdom? No, he's going to be like, oh, you're asking for wisdom. Great, here it is. Let me just pour it out on you. Let me pour it out on you. You know, I remember when Crystal and I were dating, and the guy that I was working with, that doing some receivables, and it was just two of us in this office, and I was there for a purpose, and it was a season in my life where I didn't have a vehicle, and so I was at the mercy of those who could give me a ride to work to get me there early in the morning, or take the bus really early in the morning. So it allowed me time to read the scripture. And so I had my pocket New Testament with Proverbs and Psalms in it. And so I determined that because I had to get to work early every day, that I would just, whatever the date is, today's the 16th, I'll read Psalm, Proverbs 16. And if I got time left over, I'll read something else. And it never failed. My coworker would ask me a question. Hey, what about blah, blah, blah? And either that day or the day before, I had read what God's opinion of blah, blah, blah was. And so I was able to share it with him. He's like, oh, dude, you're so smart. I'm like, oh, dude, not me. This is what, it seems like every time you ask me a question, it's always what I've been reading in the Bible that day or the day before. And so with that, I would encourage you, if you haven't had a chance to really go in and dig into the book of Proverbs, take the Proverbs challenge, take a month. And whatever day of the month it is, read that chapter in the book of Proverbs. There is a lot of wisdom there. And, the fear of the Lord, respecting God, is the beginning of wisdom. That's just the start, is respecting Him. But learning from Him, oh goodness. We could really go a lot farther from there. So with that, I've got a couple of challenge things I want to talk about you. And I want to start with a hand check. We used to joke around when be riding with a couple that we knew was dating, or on the church bus or something like that. I'd be like, oh, hand check, and they'd have to hold their hands up. But if they came up like this, then we knew something was going on. But I think of a spiritual hand check, and it starts with work, right? Because we work with our hands. The question I ask is, how are you working for the advancement of the kingdom of God? And I think of many opportunities. I love Carol's position that you're in, Carol. I love it. Because as a substitute teacher and a tutor, you get to go into different classrooms every day. You get to deal with different kids every day. And that's an opportunity for you to pray over 30 to 60 different faces. Praise God. That's advancing the kingdom of God. You know, you might say, well, you know what? I don't deal with people. You know, I might be in the landscaping business. Well, guess what? You can pray over the people's houses that you're working on their homes. You can pray for them. And, you know, take the little bit of anointing oil out and, you know, drop it on their lawn when they're not looking and, you know, pray against the things that are not of God. That will advance the kingdom of God. There's so many practical ways that we can figure out how to work for the Lord while doing our jobs that we just need to sit and ask Him for wisdom, and He'll show us how to do it, and He will give us opportunities to share. So, the hand check. The next thing is the eye check. You know, we got to make sure that we don't have, you know, those, you know, 12-foot plank sticking around. Can you imagine how clumsy that would be if we had two 12-foot planks sticking out of our eyes? You know, some, what are they, 2x8s? 2x8x12s would be knocking things over and hitting people. So we need to make sure that there's something, you know, we make sure that there's nothing in our eyes that are cause us to be blinded by self-perpetuation. Got to make sure that that is all out and make the conscious choice to fear God and receive the honor. You know, then there's also the heart check. Ask God if He considers you wise-hearted or not. And ask Him to show you in the Scriptures. Lord, show me. Is there a place where I can improve on being wise-hearted? Can we improve on something? Yes, we can all improve, right? And what happens when we improve on something? We are better ambassadors for God and for His kingdom. We have more opportunities to share because we have that knowledge and that skill and that wisdom to go out and to turn these things into spiritual conversations. You know, a testimony check. That's one another thing that I think of. A wise person in God's eyes has a good testimony. They're not hanging out with evil people. They're not doing evil stuff. And, you know, the best way to find out how your testimony is, you know, ask it, what's that old question? If you were convicted of being a believer, would they find enough evidence against you? And I think of Watchman Nee, you know, famous evangelist in China. And under the communist regime, they finally caught him for sharing the gospel. And they, you know, he was in court, standing in the communist court, and there was a stack of about 1,200 papers, of, you know, 1,200 reports that were against him. And he started crying and bawling his eyes out. And they ask him, what are you, you know, are you upset that you did this? He says, no, I'm upset they didn't find more. That they didn't find more evidence against me. And so that's a good thing to, you know, think about it. You know, what do others say about your lifestyle? And not on Sabbath. Oh, when they come to synagogue, they're so wonderful on Sabbath, you know. How about do a Tuesday afternoon check at about 4 o'clock, right? Maybe a Monday morning check. How many of us love Monday mornings? Okay, I don't see any hands. So that's important. You know, with that, a goal check. You know, let's look at our goals. And does God consider us as we're goaling to ourselves, saying, you know, I'm going to goal to be wiser and wiser and wiser in the things of God. And does God consider us to be candidates to inherit honor? I tell you, I don't want to be embarrassed by dishonor. I, for those of you who know me, I don't like being embarrassed by things. And it drives me nuts. And so with that, I'm just like, oh, you know, does God consider me wise? Well, I can pray for more wisdom, right? There is a solution to that problem, and I'm glad about that. And of course, that's the last check, is wisdom. Are we lacking wisdom in an area? In any area? Are you going through a maybe a question of a decision? That's another area too. I've got a decision coming up. I got to, you know, should I go to the left or should I go to the right? There's no clarity in Scripture. God's Word says to ask Him for wisdom and ask Him for guidance. And guess what? He will give it to you generously. He will pour out you beyond what you can contain. All you got to do is ask. And what's the hardest thing about asking? It's dropping the pride, right? I think of one of my children just wanted to really have that pride going today. Guilty. And it's just like, you know, refuse to ask because of pride. Just wanted to butt heads. And, you know, and really isn't that the problem with all of us? As children of God, many times we're too prideful to ask. But you know what? God will give it to us generously, so let's do that. You know, there's a verse that's on my wall, and nobody can see it because it's behind my bookshelf in my office. And the verse is this. It's Psalm 32:8. It says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you." And the verse following it is verse 9. It says, "And do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near to you." Mules are stubborn. I don't know if any of you spent any time around any mules. Or Democrats. But but they're stubborn. They are stubborn. And, you know, horses. I remember one time we were doing this moonlight ride. I was with a couple of friends, and we were doing this moonlight horseback ride in Norco, or, you know, along the river trail somewhere in that area. And this was like a long time ago. And it wasn't Corona wasn't developed like it is now. It just had pretty much the circle and, you know, and it just was one or two exits off the 91. And that was Corona. It wasn't all these exits like they have now. And so I remember, you know, my buddy Mikey and I, and it's like, oh, hey, you know, I've got, you know, I won this free horseback ride thing for Moonlight Horseback Ride. And, you know, I think his girlfriend was out of town or whatever. And you want to go with me? Yeah, sure. And so we're out there, and there's some other people out on this ride, too, and going Moonlight Horseback Riding. And it was a blast. But the horses, because it was night, wanted to turn towards home every chance they got. They're like, oh, come on, foolish people, it's dark. We want to go home. Where's the barn? You know? Where's my oats and my whatever it is, you know, and the horse network, you know, I don't know what they were watching. They didn't like the rodeo channel, but they liked the horse network. But they wanted every time, and we had to fight them the entire time as we were headed out for the first hour of this 2-hour ride. We had to fight them and keep their heads turned, pointed towards the direction that we wanted to go. And God says, hey, you know what? Don't turn your heads towards what is comfortable. That's the lesson that I got from that. Because, you know, we want to be comfortable. It's against our nature as sinful people not to want to do the things that God wants us to do. Not to want to step out. We're afraid of, oh, you know, I don't want to say anything about Yeshua Jesus because my coworkers might start teasing me, or they'll call me a religious freak or a nut or all of that. And God says, hey, don't turn towards what is comfortable. Head the direction that I want you to go. Follow the wisdom that I've given you. Don't be like a horse that you got to put junk in its mouth to keep its head focused, or you got to put blinders on its eyes so it doesn't look what's going on around it. Don't be like those horses and mules. And you know what? With that in mind, let me encourage you. Let us today commit to using the God-given wisdom and understanding that He wants us to have for the purpose that He has given us, which is to get out that comfort zone and go perpetuate His kingdom. Amen? Amen. So, Rufus, let's go ahead and bow.